Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Power of Reinvention. I'm very excited to be here today with my guest, Anne Rindone. Hi, Anne.
Happy.
How are you doing?
It is a great, I'm going to say Friday, because it's Friday.
It is Friday. We love Fridays, and it's a fun day to have a conversation like this. So thank you for being here. For those who don't know, I started the Power of Reinvention podcast a couple of years, almost 2 years ago now. I did it because I needed a wonderful way to continue the conversations that I had while I was interviewing people for the book that came out 3 years ago, Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For? I had so much fun as I was talking to people and interviewing them for the book, finding out different ways that people have experienced aha moments, next chapters, reinventing some part of their lives. And this podcast has enabled me to continue those conversations. We're celebrating the 100th episode this week. So Anne will be number 101. And I'm just delighted. I just love being able to share a lot of insights and things that are quite motivational for a lot of people that are exploring different parts of their lives and how to live a little bit more of the ideal dream life that they may be wanting. So that's what this is all about. I'm going to share a little bit about Anne, who is my guest today. She is the founder and creator of a wonderful new relative, not so new maybe, coaching company called Anne Rindone Coaching Solutions. She's an expert as an executive, group, and systematic team coach, leveraging her dynamic approach to cross-functional and global leadership. She draws on 3 decades in marketing and communications, leading cross-functional teams in corporate and nonprofit companies. I'm going to talk a little bit about her background today and how she got to where she is. And she works with female-led teams. Her systematic approach emphasizes understanding the team's unique value within the organization and achieving transformative change through effective stakeholder engagement. She's focused on ambitious, accomplished, and straightforward female leaders facing career frustrations, and Anne helps them make impactful changes, refine soft skills, and smooth any rough edges without changing who they are. My God, we could all use a lot of that. So, Anne, I'm super excited to be able to delve into this conversation with you today. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for asking me to be on. I just absolutely love doing it.
What's really fun is that Anne and I go back, oh God, are we talking maybe 15, 20-ish years here? Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. And Anne, you at the time when we used to play together, you were at ConAgra, I think was the first time we met. And because of all the things that I do with my marketing company, the Sharp Alliance, and various clients, we crossed paths quite a bit and became quite dear friends and have continued to stay in touch. And when I found out that you had sort of really taken this pivot in a whole other direction, I was so excited to talk to you. Nobody loves a reinvention more than I do. And when I see people take these huge leaps in industries or personal places in their lives, or the combination of that, because everything we do affects some other part of our lives, I thought, I think there is a conversation that needs to happen here. So I would like to start by taking you back in time. And I want to talk about who was little Anne. Who was Anne, the 5-year-old, the 12-year-old? What were your ambitions? Were you the gal on the street corner doing a lemonade stand? Were you the hard charger leader of the family? You know, who was little Anne, and did you have any idea where your life would take you?
I was probably a little stinker for sure, but it's really funny that you asked that question, because, you know, it's also always awesome when you listen to some keynote speech and you actually remember something from it.
Right.
There was one where somebody said, sometimes people as young as 5 years old know what they want to be when they grow up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that was me. I was always going to be a teacher. And wow. I knew that. I'm going to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher. I'd do the thing with the dolls. I went all the way through college saying, yep, this is my path, my life. And I became a teacher and I taught for 1 year and I said, thank you very much. That is for me. Thank God for good teachers. But fast forward to now, I was right. Because with coaching, it's in that same arena.
Yeah, very much.
I did know what I wanted to be. I just interpreted it.
Which is quite a fascinating statement right there, because I so often have conversations with people who are like, well, I'm a salesperson in the garment business, and that's all I know is the fashion industry. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know how to talk to people. You understand. Da, da, da. Like, pivot and take those skills or that sort of sense of what you love to do, but apply it some other way. So, yes, that teaching is exactly what you're doing, just in a whole different capacity, especially than what you obviously thought it was going to be, which I just love.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got back to my roots eventually, but to answer more specifically, who was little Anne? I was the youngest of 5. So 2 brothers and 2 sisters, who was always very determined to keep up with all of them. And good or bad, I sort of fashioned my life and my attitude after my oldest brother, who is very straightforward and commanding. And sometimes that worked out great for me and sometimes not so much.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He and I love each other, but we definitely know how to push each other.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
But yeah, I was gregarious. I had a flair for dramatic, definitely strong-willed and determined. And I remember thinking, I am a super badass kid. That is for sure. So
a lot of confidence.
Yeah. A lot of confidence, but it was a point in my life, like many, many people, like something crashed in your life that took it all away. You started building up your wall. I'm not going to be hurt. And confidence was absolutely what everybody saw, but it was not what I knew was going on inside.
Wow. Okay. Well,
people.
So was there a sort of watershed moment that, you know, you're referencing when you feel that, or you kind of refer to that? Was it professional? Was it personal? You know, what was that, if you're willing to share or talk about that, and how did you deal with it and move through that?
So, well, through a coaching specific exercise where you draw out your lifeline and you say, here are the peaks and the valleys, and you try to find all the themes. It's something that many, many coaches use. I use it as well. We used it in our coach training at the beginning to get inside ourselves. And I went, oh, that's where it started. So it's going to sound silly, but it's it's the sixth grade girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you're in sixth grade, quote unquote, traumatic things are going to stick with you and
yes.
sort of build your life. So I was kicked out of the group, Kathy. I was kicked
out. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it shattered me, because before that, I'm like, I love people. I want to have friends. I want to have clubs. And it is a lesson in choose your friends wisely.
Yeah.
I have so many clues that there are nicer girls who want to be friends elsewhere, but I was determined
yeah.
that I was going to be friends.
It's so interesting. It's such a metaphor for so many things. I mean, I think we even look at like social media and we're like, oh, look at their life and look at what they're doing. Yep. And I'd like to have that. And I'd like to be that. And I'd like to do that. Instead of really understanding that what we have is so beautiful and valuable and gorgeous mm-hmm. and wonderful. And, you know, there's no need for that. And, you know, what do we know at that age? And we grow up and we start to recognize and understand that. And, you know, clearly those aren't the people that deserve to be in your life. So there. And, you know, but how did that, let me ask you, how did that moment fuel for you later in life, who you were or how you picked and chose the things, the people, the jobs, the, you know, did that impact a big part?
What it did was completely shatter my trust in people. Mm. And I was never going to be hurt again.
Yeah.
And so it made me more determined and more strong-willed and separated me from my emotions is what it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about, I built up a wall to protect myself, which I did. And the thing that you build to protect you is the thing that hurts you the most.
Yeah.
Because you can't get out and nobody can get out.
Yeah.
So it impacted everything in my life. My ability to have, you know, good, meaningful relationships and my relative ability to lead effectively.
Yeah.
So I had built-in skills to do these things, but without the heart part of it, I led completely with my head. My relationships were completely about... Yeah. What was going on in my head, and my heart was blocked up inside.
Yeah.
And so, part of the coach training that I went through, you have this 4-day intensive where you dig through all of your stuff because you can do it, but it's hard to be a good, effective coach if you're still dealing with all of your own personal issues.
Yeah.
And so through that process, 4 days intensive, going super, super deep, I learned a lot about myself. I was just coming off of a long-term relation, very short-term marriage, which was, I ended up there. It's sort of like those were the bookends. Getting kicked out of the group got me to this really terrible relationship that I was in and didn't know it because of all the things that I refused to see because I wouldn't let my heart see it.
Right.
And so without the coach training and the things that I learned and the way that you have to relate to your clients, but first to yourself, that is the thing that started moving me through it.
Yeah.
Started me to allow to break down the wall, to allow my heart to be seen, you know, because you know, I make fun of myself and I'm like, I'm really a crusty marshmallow. I'm all burnt on the outside, but really gooey on the inside. And my few super close friends know that. I have one that she's like, warm and fuzzy, not cold and prickly.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, between ourselves, but she was right. She was absolutely right. So it's just a much better, nicer, way to live.
Yeah.
And I was able to achieve a sense of peace of mind, peace of soul that I didn't have before because I was just so restless and protective and distrusting. And I really am happy with the place that I'm at now, like, able to help other people who may be in a similar situation.
Yeah. And do you find that as you're doing a lot of the coaching and working with, which seems like primarily women that you're working with and coaching, is this kind of a common thing that you find? There's a lot of sort of unveiling, if you will, of that history of relationships that have affected and people bring that forward into a lot of their life, their work, their relationships, and... You know, how are you seeing that with people that you work with and the work that you do?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times, yes. And, you know, while coaching isn't about digging through your past.
Yeah.
There, we do refer back to it. You know this. We do refer back to it because it does have such an impact on us.
Yeah.
And so if you're able to pinpoint, like you said, did you have a moment? If you're able to pinpoint that, it sort of makes sense of why you have the motivations you have, where your values come from. Working through values and mission and purpose, those things really start to dig through your past because that's where they start. That's where they're built. That's where they're developed. So yeah, it's always, those are the engagements that are always far more helpful because they're more meaningful and it gets to a level of understanding that the women I work with in particular just don't understand. They just don't have a level of understanding of themselves. Because sometimes they have purposely tried to not go there.
Right.
Because it's too hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And it's terrible to be vulnerable. No, it's not.
Well, but it's hard work, but it's important. And look, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out breakthrough moments or aha moments, as I like to call them. To create really fulfilling lives, to find their passion in what they're doing, where they're doing it, trying to make sense. And I do a lot of exercises with people in the reinvention coaching space with, you know, really understanding what your values are, as you just touched on, and what you're actually doing in your life every day. And for so many people, those things just do not align and they don't realize it. And they're going through life wondering why they're feeling slightly unsettled, slightly uncomfortable. There's an annoying feeling at them that something's just not all in place. And the moment you start to sit back and identify those moments, and look, you must have had one somewhere along the way. I mean, I met you working in corporate America, and look at what you're doing today. So let's talk about that. You were in the corporate world, and forgive me because I don't recall what you might have been doing before that, but being in the corporate world, working for a big company, what made you leave that space? What was that aha moment you had or was maybe forced upon you, as we see many people experience both? Sometimes we've all got a reinvention in our back pocket, and that's great because we all should, no matter what. But yeah, let's talk about that kind of nexus point for you.
So before I joined ConAgra, I was predominantly just in the agency space. Advertising agency, sales promotion agency, which started my marketing career. I was actually at a radio station for 4 years at the very, very beginning. So there was always this element of marketing, you know, get up to listen to the radio station, help them buy our products. So that moved me into ConAgra marketing promotions in particular, which is where you and I met,
yep.
You know, all the fun times with the studios and the kids stuff. And it just grew from there. Moving into more traditional marketing, over the years, I was there for 16 years. The best part, honestly, was working with all you guys at the studios. I just make people. And then the last 4 years, so there was an aha moment in the middle of it. And then the facilitated exit, we'll call it. I had been an integrated marketing director, the sort of managing across multiple brands, all the disciplines of marketing. And I got to a point where I'm like, you know what? I don't think I agree with some of the philosophy that we were being led by.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? If I don't agree with the way the marketing department is going, then I got to go because I'm not a fit anymore. And especially in corporate does a really good job of making you feel like you're terrible. It doesn't do a good job at all of saying, you know what? You've got a lot of great experience. You've had a lot of success, but I don't think you're a fit.
Yeah.
Realizing that myself was a big turning point for me. I'm like, you know what? I just don't fit here anymore. I'm not bad. I have experience. I know this discipline. I know what I'm doing. So for the last few years, then I moved over into the corporate foundation where I was working on, well, cause marketing was the marketing side of it, but working with the nonprofits on domestic child hunger. And that really, I had a 2-year project in particular to figure out what was the purpose of the company. You know, why do we exist beyond making money?
Yeah.
And that, if I were to point to anything that started to prep me for coaching, was going through 2 years of research, just to dig into, all right, why are we here? Why do we make all this food? And it was fascinating work. But then the facilitated exit came. We had a changeover of senior leadership. The whole C-suite changed over. They moved headquarters to Chicago, and 2/3 of us were let go. So I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that project, it was championed by the old CEO, and it was going to go through. And then the new CEO came in, and I kind of like patted me on the head and said, "That's really cute. We're not going to do that." I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
I got amazing experience learning about purpose.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so happy that I never felt resentful that it never got used. I'm like, I got so much out of this. Crazy. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me that opportunity. So then in that gift of time that I was given, I laid out every single assessment that I've ever had in my life, that I've ever taken. And because I love understanding, I love those data points.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this stuff has to be telling me something. And that's when I got to that, oh my gosh, I did know at 5, I wanted to be a teacher, because everything said teacher, coach, counselor. And I'm like, I was right. Yeah. And talking with some other people, they pointed me towards coaching. I took a look into it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a marketing methodology. This is a natural fit.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get the problem. I just have to get the skills. So that was in 2015. I started getting trained up in 2016, and I've been coaching ever since.
That's incredible. I mean, what a journey. And it's so interesting because we're having a lot of conversations these days with folks who are in C-suite or executive positions with companies that have been doing it for a while, that are, you know, COVID sort of contributed to the, I think, the acceleration of people really questioning what they're doing with their life. I mean, the irony of my book, or not so ironic as far as the timing of when it came out, but my book was referenced as the ultimate guidebook for now. It was not my intention for it to actually come out the week before the pandemic sent everybody home. But there we were, having conversations 3 times a week on my virtual chats with people that were trying to figure out, oh my goodness, here I am sitting at home, pausing on life, not going out every day, every night, not traveling, not running around, not sitting in, you know, commuter traffic. And I have time to reflect on who I am and what I'm doing and where I'm at and who I'm in a house with for months on end, and all of these things that, you know, I just gently say to people in my book, pause, reflect, not, you know, go through what we went through. But the irony was, it was a gift or forced on people to have to think about what they were doing with their lives. And in that moment, that understanding of maybe I don't need to do what I'm doing the way I'm doing it, or there is another way, came up for a lot of people. And again, business, personal, spiritual, hobby, relationships. There's so many parts to us. We are very complex individuals. And when we are given an opportunity to A, understand that we are entitled to live the life that we want, that was not thrust upon us, that was not born out of habit, that we, you know, get to stop and think about that for a moment, and then question, well, what do I want to do? Like you, looking at all of these quote data points that helped you understand who you were, that's the work. That's the work you're helping guide through people through. It's the work that I've been able to do with so many through the book, the blogs, the podcasts, the content, the conversations. People can hear this and go, wow, that's me. I relate to that. Wait a minute. There is another way I could be doing this. How did you do it? How did she do it? It gives them that inspiration to dig into it. Merely to entertain it is the beginning of that conversation for so many people, and to know that they're entitled, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it's just so important that people allow themselves that grace to do that. And you never know where you're going to end up. You could come full circle. We have friends in the business who were doing the crazy business, went off and discovered their reinvention passion and said, you know what? That was fun for a moment, like your teaching gig. And no, thank you. I'm not going to. But you learn so much about yourself. And look, there's always the fear. And I want to kind of talk about this and ask you this about the fear in the moment of change, the risk you're taking. Do I go take that corporate safe job? Or do I take a risk and bet on myself and my passion, my dream, and stay true to what I want and find a way through it to create something successful in my life? So was that something you entertained? Was there a little fear in that process?
The fear was more recent than what you might think.
Okay.
Because I am generally, you know, I say I'm missing a fear chip in my head. You know, I will do things that are sometimes stupid, but boy, they're fun.
Right.
The fear of staying too long at the corporation is the proverbial golden handcuffs.
Great point.
And the fear of, well, this is a lot of money. I need this money. And I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm not going to find this much money anywhere else in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
That on top of years of that point that I got after a very successful early career, getting to this point where all of a sudden everybody's telling you you're doing it wrong, or you're too this, or you're too that, you need to change, you need to do, you know, you're never going to get ahead. And so it's what I call domestic corporate abuse. I mean, you really get beaten down and you just don't believe in yourself anymore.
Yeah.
So that was the fear base of staying.
I love that. I love that you point that out, because I think that's, you know, it's a whole different way to interpret, you know, what should you be afraid of? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And you wouldn't feel like you need all those things if you had that sense of self-worth, but somewhere your self-worth just crumbled.
Yeah. Well, and that's so tough.
Yeah. So it really was a gift of time to say, thank you, but no. I'm like, thank you, but no. Yeah.
So what advice would you give to people who are transitioning in careers or contemplating, you know, where and how to find their personal passions or their own self-brand, you know, in that context or out of that context?
It's not as easy as I will state it, but it really is taking that time to understand who you truly are, good, bad, and ugly, and embrace it, and then work with that.
Yeah.
Part of who you are is where you came from. So we talked about the value, all the under the line stuff, under the waterline stuff that nobody else sees, but it determines your mindset. So what are your values? What are your beliefs? Why do you think that you're here? Why do you think you exist? What are you good at? You know, a lot of times you can be super good at something, but you feel like, oh, but I don't want to say that I'm good at it. No, you're really good at it. That is your gift. That's also part of the advice of if you have a gift and you know it secretly or not, and you're not living in your gift zone, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So if you want to make that leap, the fear and the anxiety comes from the stories that you're telling yourself. What are you judging about yourself? What are you judging about other people? And what are you judging about the situation? There's no wisdom in any of that. It's what holds you back, holds you down, keeps you from growing. And so separating yourself from that judge, that judger mentality,
yeah,
and move into, I have wisdom. I do know something, but let me figure out that more deeply and embrace the good and the gifts and leverage those things. You're going to end up finding the thing that you are excited to wake up and start doing again.
I love that. Yeah, that's amazing. And that's such a wonderful point to, hate to say, wrap up this conversation. But before we do, I've got a fun question to ask you, which is always my fun part. It's all fun, but if you could invite 3-4 really interesting people to sit around a dinner table and break bread and have a bottle of wine together, people that inspired you or you just find really fascinating and interesting and you'd love to just sit with, who might they be?
You know, the first person that comes to mind is absolutely my mother, who passed in 17, who it took me till I was 32 to realize, oh, I have your sense of humor. I never thought you were funny at all, but she was so sarcastic. Oh my gosh. Hilarious. I feel like I have I didn't have a terrible relationship with my mother, but it could have been way better.
Yeah.
I battled her a lot. But I feel like I have a better relationship with my mother now that she's gone.
Yeah. Right.
And most days I'm like, oh, I never would have talked to her about that when she was alive just because of my own ego, but I would love to be able to talk to her. Amazing. So there's so many things I would love to sit down and talk to her about because she's wicked, wicked smart. So smart.
Amazing.
And didn't take advantage of it. Michelangelo.
Wow. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just such creative brilliance and tortured heart, you know, so talk about being in your gift zone. So, you know, were you happy? What was it that was causing all of that torture in your life? And you've created such beauty. So that is fascinating to me. So one of my favorite books is Agony and the Ecstasy. You know, it's sort of the fictitious account of actual history.
Yeah.
Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel is fascinating. And interestingly, that's the book that my mom was reading while she was pregnant with me.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. Okay.
Make of that what you will.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'll stick with those two.
Fantastic.
I'm sure those were the two.
I love that. Well, that right there sounds like an amazing little dinner party and probably just with a few people, some pretty deep and meaningful conversations would definitely take place. So that's precious. It's so fun to just fantasize about the people that we want to spend time with and where and how we spend our time, which is reflective of our lives and goes back to, you know, doing things that we love, being in the moment, living our best lives, you know, really understanding what we value and what's important for us and trying to make sure that we're giving ourselves the grace to live life that way. And I'm so excited for you to see what you've been able to do, what you're doing for others. I mean, to be there to coach people, to be their best selves, to inspire them to really reflect on all of that is such a gift and is such a teaching moment. So you really have come full circle to who that little 5-year-old Anne was, which I think is really precious. And I just so appreciate you being a part of this conversation, reaching out and being a part of this audience that is going to get to benefit from this conversation. And I encourage those who are listening to reach out to Anne. She clearly has incredible skills and smarts and ability to guide those of us who are trying to explore this next chapter in our life or one of the many chapters in our lives. And I will include your contact information. And for those listening that may not read the show notes, what's the best way to connect with you? Is it LinkedIn? Is there a website that they can go to?
Yep. I am on LinkedIn. You can go to my website, which is ARC, ARC Coaching Solutions. So Andrew Coaching, ARCCoachingSolutions.com. I'm on Instagram as Ann Rendoni. And coming soon to the website will be the blog with more fun and fun and interesting perspectives on just all the stuff that goes on in life. A lot of it is from what I'm learning from my ladies that I coach.
Amazing. Okay. And we'll put all of that in the show notes so people can access that. So appreciate every part of our history together, reconnecting and being able to spend more time talking through this. Just love it. And just really grateful for you being on the Power of Reinvention podcast today. So thank you.
Thank you. So much fun. We could have talked forever. So I really appreciate being here today.
Fantastic. Thank you. And for those who are listening, you can check the show notes. Please feel free to go to the reinventionexchange.com. Blogs, posts, podcasts, virtual chats, all kinds of inspiring information and content and interviews and everything that might help you on your journey. So happy reinventing, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.